I want you to grab my Marinate in the Wait journal. It's got space for your prayers, to-dos, reflections, whatever's on your heart. And the faith-filled quotes, they will bless your soul. Head to the Marked store and get yours today. I'll include the link in the show notes. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain, and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to the She's Marked podcast. I'm so grateful to be with you today as you're listening. So this is now part three of the Becoming series. And in this series so far, we have covered healing the heart that misses who you were in episode 53. And episode 54 was all about the false comfort of yesterday. Ladies, so far we have been really getting honest with ourselves and admitting the parts of us that may be grieving former versions of ourselves for various reasons. We have also been looking into the traps of misplaced nostalgia and toxic looking back and how that can create obstacles. We reflected on Lot's wife, who had an affinity for what was behind her, even though she knew that it wasn't good, and it caused her to be completely destroyed. In essence, she could no longer move forward. She was stagnant. She was separated. She was isolated. So I'm obviously not focused on us looking back on sinful parts of ourselves, but I'm talking about transitions that we face in life as real people. Maybe it's the transition of aging, which I have talked about in my own personal story. Maybe you're a mom and you may find that your heart is reflecting on the days where you weren't a mom. Not that you're not grateful for having children. We all know that children are a blessing. They're a heritage. But maybe you're missing the freedom, the carefreeness that you had. Maybe you've experienced some heavy weight in your life and you're reflecting back and missing a time where life seemed simpler. You didn't have the weight, the disappointment, the regret. Maybe you experienced a divorce. Maybe you lost friends that were very close to you. Maybe those relationships are non-existent or they're not strong anymore. Maybe you miss a family life that you didn't have. Broken relationships. Maybe you're missing former roles. Maybe you're like me and you're a homeschool mom or a stay-at-home mom and you've struggled to still feel relevant, if you will. So there are a number of experiences that we have where we kind of look back and say, wow, those were the good old days. And so my goal in this Becoming series is to help us, one, acknowledge that truth, two, heal and soothe, and three, realign and clear our vision so that we see that the best is yet to come. Also, taking a good look at what trusting God truly means and helping us not only to cope, but to become firm and strengthened and renewed as we move forward with our continued purpose and with an identity that is properly aligned. So today, I know that was a mouthful. Today, we're going to be talking about why we grieve past versions of ourselves. And I really want you to, depending on what you're doing as you're listening to this, set aside some time, get your notebooks, get your journals. Hey, get the Marinate and the Weight journal from the Mark store. Get whatever you need to write and do some deep reflection on why you personally may struggle with looking back, why you may be grieving a former version of yourself. But I'll give you some things to ponder. So number one, we've already touched on it. Maybe you are grieving youth and physical vitality, maybe the loss of beauty or strength or energy. Aging tends to place our mortality right in front of our face. It reminds us that, hey, it may feel like you have forever, or like you were going to be here forever, or you were going to be in this place forever, this physical place. You may be in your teens forever, or your 20s, or your 30s, or your 40s, or your 50s, or whatever it is. But the truth is, no, you're not. You know, as I mentioned, I think in my last episode, you know, when I look in the mirror now, I'm seeing the grays starting to come out. I'm noticing some changes in the waistline. Granted, I've had 4 children, but I'm noticing some changes in my skin. I'm noticing little things that are reminding me that life is real. I'm aging and mortality is real too. Another reason why we may grieve former versions of ourselves. Number two, another reason. Innocence and carefree seasons. Maybe you long for the simpler times before burdens and bills or betrayals, deep heartbreaks, just the stressors of life became a thing. Adulting is not easy. And I hear, you know, a lot of commentary about people saying that adulting is hard. It's challenging. Like, how did our parents, for the most part, maybe your parents made it seem so seamless. But now that you're an adult, you realize there were tears they were crying at night when you were sleeping. There were things going on behind the scenes that you might not have been aware of. You need prayer and you need the Lord and you need the Holy Spirit to be an adult. You really do. Next reason why we may grieve. Dreams and aspirations that did not come true. Do you remember being young and having this whole vision for how your life was going to play out? And you started to chase those goals and you started meeting some obstacles. Maybe you were able to achieve or accomplish what you envisioned, but then maybe not. Maybe those obstacles, those curveballs, those turns started taking place and you're like, whoa, I never saw that coming. And ever since that shift took place, you have felt this restlessness in your heart. You have felt shaken by that truth. Another reason that we may grieve past versions of ourselves is a previous identity or role. Maybe you're missing being the successful one or the needed one or the admired one. And think about this also in terms of when those roles have shifted. So again, I've mentioned divorce, maybe job losses, maybe a job change. Maybe you've become an empty nester. Maybe you're just starting out in your journey and you're leaving home. You're venturing out for the first time. You may feel some grief with what was once familiar, what was once comfortable. Okay. The next reason that we may grieve former versions of ourselves is past strengths or confidences. Maybe you felt that you were more bold once upon a time. Maybe you were braver, more passionate, and now you just feel weary or you feel cautious or fearful. Maybe when you look at the current state of the world, you feel so unsettled. Maybe if you have experienced some misfortune, you now you don't really know where you stand or you just feel so shaken. Okay, you're looking back and maybe you feel like there was a better version of you before and you feel grief over not necessarily meeting that standard anymore. The next reason, relationship loss or changes, deep sorrow over friendships. I know we've talked about this again, marriages, family ties that shifted, broke or faded away. I think that'll be an awesome topic to cover in the future, talking about broken relationships and the broken family unit. And the next reason and final reason that I want to give for today is a sense of purpose or clarity. Maybe you have, maybe you're mourning a season when your mission or the direction that you were going in felt more obvious compared to foggy seasons or confusing seasons now. Maybe you felt like at one point you were on the ship and your hands were on the steering. I don't even know what that's called. The steering wheel of a ship. What is that called, folks? I don't remember what it's called. It's like at the tip of my tongue, but you guys know what I'm talking about. It looks like a steering wheel and you use it to steer the ship. And so maybe you became so accustomed to feeling like you had a sense of control over your own direction in life and the choices you were being intentional about choosing and directing your life. And then all of a sudden that changed for whatever reason. And you get that jolt where, okay, I'm living, I'm going forward. I'm trying to trust God, but I'm still feeling like this dissonance inside. I'm feeling this unrest and it feels scary. It's anxiety, but we can feel grief over that too, because you feel all of a sudden very uncertain. And so now I want to give you some antidotes, some healing steps. Now I want to wash you with the word. You know, I try to tend to do that because that is what we have. That is our sure thing, the word of God and what he tells us and what he promises us, irregardless of what things look like, period. So let's start with that. I think that's the very first thing. Irregardless, despite what has happened in life, despite how the seasons have changed, despite how long my night season may be enduring, the truth of God's word far surpasses, it supersedes everything. And it is not dependent on what I see, but it's dependent on what I know to be true from God's word. So let's get into it, my friends. Regarding the grief that you may be feeling concerning youth and physical vitality, Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I think it's going to be very, very important as we heal in this journey and as we are becoming, we have to remember and recognize that life is a season that is not meant to stay forever. Life is going to end. Life is fleeting. But instead of focusing on the end, instead of focusing on the mortality, instead of focusing on the gloom of that, pray Psalm 90, verse 12, "Lord, teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom." So there is a gaining to be had in recognizing that your days are numbered. It will hopefully charge you, and it should charge you, to move differently, act differently, think differently, pray differently, because you realize that you are on borrowed time. The next scripture, and this is kind of an overarching scripture that I want to share, I want to wash you with, is Jeremiah 29:11. And I just want to focus on the beginning of that. "For I know the plans I have for you." Now, we hear this scripture so much. It has become a buzz scripture. And I have to be honest, sometimes I have kind of like sighed when I hear the overuse of this scripture to kind of pump us up, you know, I feel like sometimes it's used out of context. But I want to emphasize here who is speaking. Obviously, it's the Lord speaking. Obviously, he was speaking to his people. You have to always read scripture in context. You have to read the verses around, before, and after the main scripture to really get a full sense. But nonetheless, scripture always reveals the heart of the Father. And so he says, "For I know the plans I want to focus on that second I, "for I know the plans I have for you." And I think it's important to remember that as we have lived our lives by God's grace and his mercy, because that's the only way we've lived our lives. But as we live our lives by God's grace and mercy, we have to remember that he has plans for us. And so sometimes when we focus on the way that we've lived, the way that we used to live, the way that our life used to be, again, by and through his grace only, we start to, we maybe have become attached to being in control. Remember being on the ship with the steering wheel? We have gotten this illusion of control, or we in some way believe that, okay, if things didn't go the way that I drafted them in my mind, I'm off track, or I'm thrown off, or something is wrong. I'm feeling depressed about this thing. I think it's important to keep it in perspective that in this life that we are numbering, the days that we're numbering, we are living out the plans. At least we should be, or we should be aiming to live out the plans that He has for us. He holds the blueprint. He holds the plans. Okay? And of course, in order to do that, you have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I want to focus more so on the trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Really quickly, and I maybe we'll touch on this again, but I want to quickly talk about trust. Okay, so we're focused today on why we're grieving, and then we're talking about some formulas and some scriptures that we can begin to meditate on and wash ourselves in to help us heal and not grieve with a sense of loss, or not grieve to the point where we are idolizing the past, or we're looking back like Lot's wife did, but we're looking back with a sense of worship, a sense of gratitude, and increased faith for what God is going to do. And we're setting our eyes toward eternity, toward the goal that is before us. But I want to focus in on trust and ask yourself this question. Be sincere, be honest, because the Lord already knows the answer. Do I trust the Lord? I mean, do I really, really trust God? Do I trust His best for me? Do I trust that even through the storms that I have weathered, the storms that I may be weathering right now, where I may feel alone, unseen, unheard, undervalued, forgotten, forsaken, do I trust God's word to be true? Do I trust His promises to be true? Do I trust that even if and when life looks lackluster and it is filled with suffering, do I trust that God's best, His heart, is for me as I surrender and yield to Him? So I want you to focus on that and ask yourself that question and answer it honestly. Another scripture I want to focus on, which talks about our purpose. You know, we mentioned Jeremiah 29:11. Ephesians 2:10 talks about, again, our purpose and the whole reason that we're here. The NIV version says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The New Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." The NASB version says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So this goes back to trusting. When we yield to God, it's not ourselves sitting alongside Him as we both try to figure this thing out. God has already figured it out. He has already written your story, my dear sister. He has written it long ago and ordained it so that we would walk in them. So as we begin to heal in this process of becoming, because this journey, this sanctification journey, is about becoming, we have to begin seeking the heart of God. I think this is critical for the sister who feels like she might have missed her dreams, especially, or the sister who may feel like this season of stillness or change is just, it's unsettling, it's terrifying, it's achy, she feels irrelevant, she's wondering what's next. Maybe she's just finished a season and now she's in a new chapter and it's not as clear cut. She's like, what's next? God has ordained good works for you, and He prepared them beforehand that you should walk in them. Seek the heart of the Father concerning the good works that He has ordained for you. The final scripture that I want to leave you with is Philippians 3:3. And this scripture talks about having no confidence in the flesh. Paul is speaking. Paul is sharing how he, above all people, is highly qualified. He is so qualified to have all sorts of faith and confidence in his abilities, in his lineage. I think this scripture talks to the woman who may be grieving because of past strengths and confidences that she had, or missing a previous identity or role, you know, being the successful one, the needed one, the admired one. Having no confidence in the flesh, in this walk with the Lord as marked women, we are called to have zero confidence in the flesh. And what does that mean? Confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. It's a firm trust, a self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of their own abilities or qualities. But to have no confidence in the flesh means forsaking self-reliance and depending solely on God. It means that you're continually acknowledging that you need Jesus. You need the work of the cross. You need the filling, the guidance, the teaching, the comfort, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I saw this quote and it says, those who have risen with Christ must act with a heavenly ambition, fixing their aim on what is eternal. So when we have no confidence in the flesh, you know, Paul said in Philippians 3 that he counts it all as trash. He counts everything that he has acquired and accumulated, he counts it as loss for the sake of gaining Jesus. And so as we look back and we may feel like, wow, I was once that boss, or I was once that it girl, or I miss my heyday, I miss my season. The Lord is calling you. He's beckoning you. He's bidding you to count it as nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe you haven't achieved things that were even very helpful to society or helpful to people or trailblazing. But if you're holding that as the standard, if you're holding that as a standard for yourself, count it as nothing for the sake of gaining Christ, keeping that eternal aim, fixing your aim on what is eternal, counting it as zero. And my dear sister, I finally want to leave you with this quote for today. Memory of the past must serve worship, not regret, or it will become a snare that blinds one to the mercies of the present. God's mercy is new every morning, and He wants your eyes to be ever opened to what He is doing now, the new mercy that He's giving you now, the new thing that He wants to do now. I pray that you are encouraged, and I look forward to joining you again next month, Lord willing, for this continued work as we become. Until next time. Dear listener, your support means everything, and without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life, and I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmarked.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. The woman marked by God bears His seal, belongs to Him, and is protected by Him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.